Hey everybody, Justin Bader here, and this is Ascend Live. Thank you so much for being here. Great to be back. We're on kind of an every other week or so schedule, and I wanted to have a chance before the 4th of July to kind of check in at this point in hiring season, because often this is very late in hiring season, right? Normally, the end of June, early July is kind of last minute hiring. This year, it's really not. And people are continuing to get jobs every single week. I've had numerous clients get jobs in the last month, two in the last week. And if you are still looking, then A, you're in the right place, and B, it is not at all too late. There will be a very extended hiring season this year. So if you are in the market for a new Ed Leadership role, it is not too late, and absolutely keep with it. And this week, we are talking about competitiveness, the competitiveness of you as a candidate. And I can't wait to get into this and talk a little bit about what it means to be a competitive candidate and to make yourself more competitive as time goes on. So our essential question today is, how can I make myself a more competitive candidate for my next level instructional leadership role by changing the way I think about the process? And the thinking here is going to be critical. Let me know if you're tuning in live. Leave me a hi, just any kind of comment, just say hello. Let me know you are here. And if you're watching this later, leave a comment and let me know when you're tuning in later. And that helps me know when the best times for people are. And it also helps me know if people are finding this. So if you get my emails, you can go to principalcenter.com/ascendlive and sign up for email reminders and other different forms of reminders. And you can submit questions. But we're going to get right into it here. Hey, Bonnie's here and Tammy's here. Welcome. Great to see a familiar name and a new name. Welcome, Bonnie. Welcome, Tammy. All right. So here's the thing. Here's where we are right now in hiring season. A lot of people are getting jobs. And I've seen a lot of posts in online groups, Facebook groups, and things like that, where some people are really excited about the new jobs they've gotten. A lot of people are congratulating them. And if you're on the sidelines, if you're not one of the people who's gotten a job yet, it can feel kind of doubly disheartening, right? If you know other people are getting jobs and you're still in the market, you're still searching, that can be a little bit hard to deal with. So I've seen a lot of encouragement, a lot of, kind of keep at it, a lot of, keep your head up, good comments and encouragement from other people. And I hope that works for you. I hope that is helpful to you if you've sought that kind of encouragement, because it's good to keep your head up, right? It's good to keep your head in the game and to kind of tell yourself, all right, just because I haven't made it yet does not mean that there's anything wrong with me, does not mean I'm not going to. I just need to kind of hang in there and keep at it. And if you have posted in a group that I am in, I may have commented on your post saying, keep at it, still early. You haven't applied as many places as you thought you have compared to what other people are doing. So really keep at it. A lot of this really is about persistence and about the volume of applications you're putting in and just expecting that it is going to be a long road, right? A lot of people got their teaching jobs very, very easily. I got my first teaching job right out of college over the phone very, very easily. Like before I had even moved to Seattle, I had a job lined up. I was in kind of a high demand subject area. And that's the experience of a lot of people going from the classroom into administration. You think, okay, this is going to be pretty easy. I'm very well qualified. I have good grades. I'm well respected in what I currently do. So this should be easy, right? And the answer to that is no, it is not easy to move into an admin role, really at any level, because it's highly competitive. It's much more competitive than what you were doing before. Chances are good if you're making a move, it's going to be much more competitive to get into that job than before. Hey, Wendy. Hey, Paige. Great to see you here. So every level gets a little bit more competitive, and different places are even more competitive than other places. Like if you're in the DC area, extremely, extremely competitive, just because there are so many highly qualified candidates. And all this stuff about keeping your head up and staying motivated and keeping with it and not giving up, all that stuff is really good. But I also see a lot of comments that are really misguided, that really are incorrect and are sharing ideas that are unhelpful in the name of being encouraging. So what I wanted to do here was address about four or five misconceptions that I'm seeing embedded in people's encouraging comments. And I want to encourage you, if you're telling people these helpful things that aren't really helpful. If you're trying to encourage them to, you know, to keep going, if you're trying to inspire them and help them not give up on their dreams, make sure you're not actually giving people bad advice. And there are some very specific pieces of bad advice here that we're going to talk about. I've taken all the names off of these because that's not the point. It's not to embarrass anyone or argue with anyone. But I want to make it clear what some of the problems are with this advice. And this is all intending to be helpful, but not helpful. Let's see. We just have to remain optimistic and positive that there's something out there for us. That's kind of one person to another saying, stick with it, and kind of commiserating. And that's a valuable thing to do, right? But it's not really true that you just have to remain optimistic and positive. That's not really what this is about. We'll talk about what it is about in just a moment. Our time will come. Yes, I hope your time does come, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help you make that happen. But you have got to make that happen. It's not just going to happen on its own. Your time will not come if you do nothing. You know you've got a role to play in actively pursuing the position that you are seeking. Let's see, it's been several years of rejection and I'm both spent and heartbroken. Feels like a kick in the gut. I need someone to take a chance on me. All right, and that feeling is definitely understandable, but I want you to understand that because this is a competition, no one is supposed to take a chance on you, right? That's not the nature of this. This is a competitive environment where you have to beat other candidates to get a job. And it's through that tournament process that kids get the best possible leaders for their schools. So this can be frustrating. It can be demoralizing. You know, you might really want somebody to take a chance on you, but that's not really how it works. This is competitive for a reason, that we want to have the best candidates rise to the top and get the best leadership positions. Now, does it always work that way? No, it does not. There are a lot of things that can go wrong with the hiring process that can prevent the best candidate from getting the job. Maybe you have been the best candidate and not gotten the job for reasons that are less than above board. Maybe there was nepotism, maybe there was racism, maybe there was sexism, maybe there was just favoritism or politics of some sort that did not go your way and that kept the best candidate, you, from getting the job. So that's the ideal, that, you know, that the best candidate gets the job through this tournament process. Of course, it's not always the case, but it does work this way for a reason. And it's not anybody's job to quote unquote give you a chance. You've got to earn that chance yourself. And we'll talk about some things you can do if so far nobody has given you that chance. Hey, Tony, thanks for being here. Great to see people tuning in. Go ahead and say hi if you are here, because I can't see who's on live unless you leave a comment. A couple other quotes here. Catching a break. Yeah, like nobody's really supposed to give you a break, right? You gotta go fight for it. Let's see. Disheartening years of search. Yeah, it can be disheartening if you're not expecting it to be tough, right? If you think this is going to be easy, then it's easy to get discouraged. If you know it's going to be tough, then I think you'll be in a much better position. So I've been in a season lately of tough talk and of telling you that this is going to be hard. And if you're early in your process, maybe you're still in your certification program or just wrapping that up and you haven't really applied for jobs yet, let me be completely honest with you. Let me be perfectly clear. The job search process in most places is going to be brutal. It is going to be tough. And you are going to have to apply for a lot more jobs than you might have been thinking. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to apply for 5 or 10 jobs, and I'm sure I'll get a couple offers out of that. Probably not. It is not uncommon for people to apply for more than 100 jobs and not get anywhere. And we'll talk about what to do if that has happened to you. If you've not gotten any interviews, we'll talk about what to do. But do expect this to be difficult. Hey, Janine and Stacy, great to see you here. Some familiar names. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, a couple more kind of unhelpful but encouraging comments. Don't rush the process when it's for you. It'll happen. Relax and it'll all come together. I mean, do relax, but it will not happen on its own, right? You understand this is going to be work. So keep up the encouraging comments to other people online. I think that's a great thing, but watch out for these misconceptions. And we're going to talk about 5 specific misconceptions now. Misconception number 1 is that politics is your enemy. This quote from someone in a kind of encouraging light, someone was trying to cheer up someone else who hadn't gotten a job yet. Many times, unfortunately, it's all about who you know and not enough about what you know. In time, you'll find a place that takes you for what you'll bring to the district. Okay, so the misconception there is that politics determines whether you get a job and that it is a bad thing. Now, here's the thing about politics. It works for everyone, both good and bad candidates. But if you don't have any professional relationships, it's going to feel like politics works against you. And that is going to be true. You know, if you don't have good professional relationships, if you don't have a network that is advocating for you, you are going to be at a disadvantage. But rather than say, oh, it's all politics, it's all crooked, it's all political, blah, 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 instead of reacting that way and getting cynical about it, just understand that your network matters. And developing your network is a great way to make yourself a more competitive candidate. And we'll talk about how to do that today. Hey, Thelma and Georgie, great to see so many familiar names here. Like, it's nice that the school year is over and you have a little bit of breathing room and people can actually tune in. All right, so we're talking about some misconceptions about the admin job search. If you have a question, I would love for you to text that to me or ask it in the comments. Welcome back. I hit the button a little abruptly there, but thanks for bearing with me. Let me know if the music was too loud or too quiet. Just trying out some new stuff here. And I'm going to put my text number in the comments here in case you missed that on screen. Feel free to text me a question. And if I don't get to that today, I'll try to get to it in a future session. We're going to take next week off for Independence Day. But very much value your questions. And we are going to keep this up year round here on Ascend Live and keep the momentum going. So we're talking about politics and how it's not always just who or what you know, but it's also who you know. And if you see that as only a bad thing, you're going to miss out on the truth that your network is part of your competitiveness. So I'm going to give you some specific advice in just a few minutes, but keep that in mind that you have the opportunity to develop your network. Your network is not a static thing where other people have relationships and you don't. It's something that you can develop. So develop that network. Don't get upset about politics. Just build those relationships so that it works for you. Misconception number two. I see this one all the time about timing, and often there are religious overtones to this one, and I get the feeling that, you know, we don't always control the speed of things, and sometimes it's better to just kind of let go of needing to have the job right now and just kind of trust the process. This one said, don't rush the process. When it's for you, it'll happen. Relax and it'll all come together. You know, and I appreciate the point there about patience and, you know, not wanting to be impatient. You know, some people graduate from their admin cert program. They're like, I want to be a high school principal tomorrow. I've got to get it tomorrow, or this has just all been a waste of time. And it's like, look, this is going to be a process, right? You're going to probably have to be an assistant principal. You're going to have to gain some experience and build some relationships. And, you know, that job will come when the time is right, but you can't rush it. And I think that in that sense, it is true. We don't control everything. We don't control the pacing and the timing of everything. But the part that I think is unhelpful here is the idea of just sitting back and waiting for it to happen, right? The idea that you don't have to do anything to get yourself ready. So imagine for a second that you are an Olympic athlete and you want to qualify for the next Olympics. You qualified last time, didn't win any medals, and you're ready to put yourself out there again. The new Olympics are rolling around. You know, our athletes are preparing to go to Tokyo now for the Olympics. And imagine that you have been given the advice that you just need to wait for it to happen. What do you think is going to happen when it's time to qualify for the Olympics? If your competitors have been, you know, the other people, you know, in your country who compete in the same sport have been training year in and year out, day in and day out to make themselves the best possible competitors, what do you think is going to happen when it's time to qualify? Well, those who've been putting in the work are going to qualify, and those who have been kind of sitting back and waiting for it to happen are going to be really surprised at the performance of their peers. And they're going to be surprised to see people streaking past them and winning a spot at the Olympics. And it's the same in the job search process. So don't see this as something that you just have to kind of passively wait for. See this as something that you can pursue no matter what's happening with hiring, right? You don't have to see a posted job in order to increase your chances and in order to make yourself more competitive. You don't have to wait and do nothing until positions are posted. I'll go ahead and answer this question, Janine, and you will have access to this, I know, because I recognize your name. So we are filming a new Ascend masterclass for now, because I know most people aren't just starting from scratch and wanting to work through a whole program. Like, you're focused on a very specific part of the process right now. We're just doing the Ascend Lives, and I've done a number of specific trainings on things like resumes and cover letters and interviewing. The best place to look right now is going to be based on where you're focused, right? Like, so if you have an interview coming up, I can steer you to some specific trainings on that. And then the answer to the question about the Ascend Masterclass, we're going to be filming that this summer and fall. And the reason we're timing it that way, in years past, I've tried to film new training starting in about, you know, November, December, January. And I'm realizing every year, people need to start earlier. The people who get the jobs in that very first wave of hiring starting in, you know, about January, or for international schools that hire around the world starting even in September, you know, you really cannot start preparing too early. So if you don't even have your degree yet, if you don't even have your certification to be an administrator yet, it is not too early to start preparing. Do not sit back and wait. Use this time to get better, because if you don't, just know your competition is. So use the time to get better. Misconception number three. I saw this one. It said, keep trying. Took me 3 years to find the right fit. It's hard. It'll work out. And I saw a lot of things said in the comments on this particular post about finding the right fit. You know, you've just got to find the right fit. If you don't get the job, it's okay. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't the right fit. I see that over and over and over again. And people say, hey, you know, eventually I stuck with it and I got the right job and it was the perfect fit for me. And I'm glad if your job is a great fit. I'm glad if you didn't get some jobs that wouldn't have been a good fit and you did get a job that ultimately was a good fit. That's fantastic. The thing is, that is not part of the hiring process. Hear me on this. Fit is not part of the hiring process. Now, it's a term that people use. People say, well, we just went with another candidate who was a better fit. You did great. You were a terrific, you know, candidate. We were very pleased with your answers. You did a great job in your interview, but we just went with someone who is a better fit. Have you heard that? Give me a yes or a me or a raise your hand emoji or whatever the thumbs up emoji might be a good fit if you've heard that you were just weren't the best fit for a position. Have you heard that? Leave a comment. Let me know if you've heard that thing about fit. I think we've all probably said that to a candidate that we didn't hire. We've all probably heard that. Tony's heard that. Yeah, absolutely. It is incredibly common for people to say, yeah, we didn't hire you, not because you're not qualified, but it just wasn't the right fit. This is kind of a weasel word explanation, right? This is kind of the, like, we don't have a specific reason that we didn't pick you, so we're just going to say fit. It's not really a real thing. You don't know in advance, and they don't know either, whether you're going to be the right fit for a job. And you can get the job and then say, actually, you know, I'm not a good fit for this. I'm going to find a different school where it would be a better fit. But people say this all the time. It's not a real thing. Fit is not a real thing. What fit really means is qualification, right? Being the best qualified for the job, being the most competitive candidate for the job according to some criteria. Now, some aspects of fit can play into your qualifications, right? If you if you are a very young administrator working with a tough veteran staff, they might say, yeah, actually, we're kind of looking for someone with more experience. That could play into it. If you look nothing like the community that you know, if you are applying to a school that has a lot of diversity and you look maybe more like me, that might, you know, make you less qualified in the eyes of the community. And so there are some things about fit that can play into your qualifications. But for the most part, this is about experience. This is about application materials. And by the way, sometimes when people say not the right fit, that's kind of a loaded term and you kind of know what they mean. And you might not want to work for those people anyway. So, you know, if that happens, just kind of take that for what it is. But fit is largely about being the most qualified candidate, having the best experience, the best application materials, interviewing better than anyone else, having a winning personality that comes across in that interview, and having good references. Really, when people say fit, that is what they're referring to. They feel like the person they went with outcompeted the person who wasn't the right fit in terms of those specific things. So if you weren't the right fit, just see that as a competitive issue. And when I say see it as a competitive issue, I don't mean to make you feel bad. I don't mean to make you think, oh, I failed or I didn't do a good job. I want you to see this as something other than you. I want you to see this as a property of your current competitiveness, right? Your resume, if it didn't do the job, your resume can be revised. If you bombed the interview, well, you can practice and do better in your next interview. The thing to understand and about fit being a myth is that these are not fixed things. It is not an immutable characteristic of you that determines whether or not you were the right fit. It's something that you can change and influence. And again, if by fit they really meant you were the wrong race for this job, well, again, you don't want to work there anyway. This is not about immutable characteristics. So what can you do to make yourself the right fit? I'm going to give you 8 specific things in just a little bit that you can do to make yourself the right fit, to make yourself the most competitive candidate. And that's a tough concept, right? That is a tough thing to kind of get your mind around. It's a tough thing for me to talk about, this idea of fit, because we use that term all the time. And I think one of the reasons we use that term, again, is because people always want an explanation for why they didn't get the job. Do you ask for feedback? Give me a yes in the chat if you ask for feedback after an interview. And that's probably when most of you were told you just weren't the best fit, right? We went with someone who was a better fit. If you ask for feedback, let me know in the comments. Very common to ask for feedback. I see that in Facebook groups all the time. People say, oh, well, I got great feedback and they just said I wasn't the best fit. Yeah, Brittany says, got that in response to a request for feedback. Georgie says, yep, absolutely. Okay, we will talk about why you can't trust that feedback in just a little bit. Misconception number 4. I think we've got one more after this, and then I'll get into the 8 specific areas where you can make yourself more competitive. Welcome, John. Thanks for being here, and Georgie and Brittany and Paige. Great to see those comments coming in. All right. This was another comment on that same post. This person had been on 25 interviews and not getting any offers and was just kind of getting burned out on the process, right? You can tell this person is just exhausted and really is not feeling like they're getting anywhere after 25 interviews. And persistence in this case may actually be working against this person. Now, if this was your comment, I do not want you to give up at all. But at the same time, I do want you to understand some kind of baseline numbers. So on this show, I will frequently give you the 20% rule. Go ahead and type in the comment if you wouldn't mind, 20% rule, and then people will look for that later and be like, what is the 20% rule? So I want to make sure they don't miss this because I don't have it in my slides. The 20% rule says 20% of the time you should succeed at whatever stage you're working on, right? So if you apply for a job, 20% of the time you should get an interview. And if you don't get interviews 20% of the time, then your application is the problem. Your resume, your cover letter, your recommendation letters, that's the problem if you're not getting interviews 20% of the time. If you are interviewing a lot, right? This person had been on 25 interviews and wasn't getting anywhere. If you didn't get any offers out of 25 interviews, well, let me tell you what the problem is, my friend. The problem is you're not good at interviewing. And I can say that with complete confidence, having no idea who this is or what their qualifications are, just by the numbers alone, the 20% rule. Thank you, Larry and Roseanne, for typing that in the comments here. Just by virtue of the 20% rule, I can tell this person is not good enough at interviewing. And that is not an insult. That is not a diss. I don't know this person. I've never practiced interviewing with them. But I do know, simply from the numbers, that that is the hangup. That is the bottleneck. That is the problem. This person needs to get better at interviewing, because if you have interviewed 25 times and gotten nowhere, then you need to be better at interviewing. That's just the bottom line. And the thing about that is, again, your interview performance is not an immutable characteristic. You can get better at interviewing. And guess what I'm going to say in the comments. Guess for me what I'm going to say, how you get better at interviewing. It is not to go on more interviews, by the way. It is not to keep applying. It is not to keep banging your head against the wall and doing the same thing over and over again. See, this is where persistence works against us, right? If what you're doing is not working, don't keep doing it the same way. Do it better. Try something else. Get some help. So keep at it. Don't give up, but also don't reinforce that definition of insanity that says insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Yes, lots and lots of answers coming in here. How do you get better? You practice. Roseanne's got it. I don't know why these are cutting off. I'm gonna see if I can move this around a little bit. Give me just a second here, and I'll see if I can figure that out so that our comments fit on the screen. All right. Georgie's got it. Yep. Roseanne's got it. Janine's got it. You practice. That is how you get better. And I will have to practice getting better at making these comments fit because they're cutting off. So I apologize about that. But you get better by practicing. If you have not downloaded the practice interview questions, go to principalcenter.com/interview. I'll put that in the comments here. I've got 52 questions. You might have other questions that you practice. It doesn't matter so much which questions you practice because you're not going to think of everything. They can make up a new question sometime. But if you've practiced a lot of different questions, you're going to be ready for just about anything. So make sure you download those questions if you have not done that. And you will get different results as a result of your practice. Absolutely. All right, misconception number 5. And then after this, I'm going to share with you the 8 ways to make yourself more competitive. Misconception number 5. This person was also commiserating. I ask for feedback and have gotten it and it's all positive and then they're still not giving me the job. So what's going on here? If you ask for feedback, many people said you do ask for feedback. Just a moment ago, I posed that question and you said, yeah, I ask for feedback. Here's what's going on. If you're asking for feedback and being told you did great, nothing you could do better, we just went with someone who is a better fit, it's very frustrating to be told that over and over again. Right? What is going on here if they're giving you that feedback that you're doing great, there's nothing to improve, and yet they're still not giving you the job? Well, what is going on here is that they are just trying to get rid of you. They're trying to get you to shut up and leave them alone and go away because they do not want to help you. Actually, that's not always true. Sometimes they do want to help you. They do legitimately care about you. They are very nice people. They are caring. They want to help you succeed. But really, what's happening is they need you to leave them alone because they cannot help you anymore, right? They didn't hire you and they don't really have anything else to offer you. But what they are going to do is sometimes they are going to give you feedback. The problem is it's not going to be accurate. It is just going to be something that they made up so that you will be satisfied and that you will go away and not feel bad about yourself and continue fighting for another day. And in most cases, that's pretty nice of them to do. Like, they don't have to answer you at all. But if they've given you some encouraging feedback, say, yeah, you did great, keep going, encouraging you to just stick with it, that's nice of them. But their primary goal in that situation is to get you to stop contacting them and to avoid getting sued. And I have to say, a lot of people are really bad at this. A lot of school districts are really bad at avoiding saying things that will get them sued. How do I know that? Because I have clients all the time telling me the kinds of things they hear from districts that do not hire them. I hear all kinds of illegal things all the time that districts like absolutely are not allowed to say, are not allowed to consider in the hiring process. It happens. So I get that there is a legitimate need for districts to be more careful and not say this kind of thing, and certainly not make decisions in the kinds of ways that people are making decisions in the hiring process. So again, just as a sidebar here, if you have ever felt treated like you were being treated unfairly in the hiring process, you're not crazy. There is some unfair stuff that happens in the hiring process. My encouragement to you is, again, you didn't want to work for those people anyway. Keep at it. There are plenty of places you can work that will treat you fairly, that will give you great opportunities, but only if you are the most competitive candidate. Because think about it, like the crazy districts that were going to treat you unfairly anyway, they might be easier to get into for some people. They're going to be less competitive because they're going to have a reputation of being kind of a crazy place to work. So stick with it. Find those districts that will treat you fairly. And again, all that feedback that you might be getting is designed to avoid lawsuits, right? Because the reality is, look, if they didn't hire you because you're not anybody's nephew, if the reality is they didn't hire you because of your race or gender, they can't tell you that. And again, sometimes they still do, which is mind-boggling to me, but they're not allowed to tell you that. So they're gonna tell you something like fit that they can't really get sued over. So what does that mean about feedback? It means forget about it. Do not take feedback from people who didn't hire you. And I'm gonna say that again. Do not worry a bit, a shred, a morsel about feedback from people who did not hire you. I want you to repeat that to yourself out loud or type it in the comments. Do not take feedback from people who had the opportunity to hire you and didn't. Because probably it has very little to do with what they're telling you it has to do with. Probably has to do with something else. Sometimes they will say we went with someone with more experience. Often that's true. But that doesn't mean you can't beat people with more experience. You absolutely can if you get more competitive. So what we're going to talk about for the next little section here. Ooh, we've been going for a good long time. This will be a meaty episode here. I'm going to give you 8 places where you can make yourself more competitive. Really, this is the part that's in your control. This is the part that you can influence long-term, especially over the summer, especially if you're gearing up for next year. But even in the short term, you can make some big gains in some specific areas. I'm going to give you 8 here. All right, you'll recognize some of these from our trail map. You can get more competitive in terms of what leadership superpowers you're bringing to the table, your references and how they work for you, the experience, your actual experience that you have on your resume, the resume itself as a document and the cover letter as part of your application packet, the recommendation letters that I also recommend you send in along with your resume and cover letter, how you perform in interviews, and of course, your persistence. So we're going to talk about these one at a time. If you have questions that I don't address today, please text them to me or email them to me. And here is how you can do that. All right, so let's get in to the 8 ways you can make yourself more competitive. And Paige, thank you for typing that in. Don't worry about feedback from people who did not hire you. Absolutely. Worry about these 8 things instead. Let's take them one at a time. We'll go pretty quickly here because I know we've been going for a while, but we're going to go in depth here. How can you get more competitive in terms of what you bring to the table as a candidate? Your leadership superpowers. First of all, get clear on what they are. Talk to your friends and family and say, hey, what am I good at? What really makes me stand out? What makes me not just plain vanilla, not just the same as the next candidate, you know, that went to the same program I did, has the same experience? What makes me unique? What makes me really stand out? Get that feedback from people who know you well and people who care about you. And make sure you're highlighting those things in your application materials. Read new books, gain new skills, attend conferences, ask for feedback on how you can improve and develop new areas of strength. Sign up for committees that'll give you experience. And all those things that you can do will make you stand out. When it comes to write your cover letter, instead of saying something like, hello, I exist and I have the same degree as everybody else and I have the same experience as all the other inexperienced people, like instead of a cover letter that's basically just, hello, I exist, you can make yourself shine if you are prepared to talk about your superpowers. So discover what those are, develop them, work on them, hone them, work on the messaging so that you know why you stand out and you can say how you stand out at every stage of the hiring process. Thanks, Forrest. I appreciate that. Glad you're enjoying the little interlude there. All right, number 2. You can make yourself more competitive in terms of your references. And I'm not talking yet about your recommendation letters, but do ask for recommendation letters because doing so, asking for recommendation letters, by the way, take screenshots of these. I would highly recommend you take screenshots of these because these are important actions to take. Ask for recommendation letters because when you do that, it cues the person that you're asking, oh, Justin's looking for a job. Justin would be a really great candidate. I should put some feelers out and see if anybody is looking for a candidate like Justin. So do that. Ask for recommendation letters and you will activate your network and they will start to help you out. Ask for opportunities to lead, to be on a committee, to serve in some sort of capacity that will make you stand out and give you the opportunity to develop new skills. You can explicitly ask people, hey, if you know anybody who is hiring and you think I'd be a good fit, put in a good word for me, let me know. I would greatly appreciate it. I'm really looking for a new opportunity in the next year or two. Sign up for things, committees. I don't mean by volunteer, I don't mean like unpaid work or like outside agencies that have nothing to do, but like sign up for work that will give you the kind of experience and exposure that you need to build your network. And certainly if there's an aspiring leaders program in your district, absolutely get into that because those people are gonna get the first look for hiring. I had one of my clients who just got his first principalship, actually took kind of a step down back into the, off of the admin scale and into the classroom in order to get into one of those leadership development programs. It was a really great program and I think really helpful. So definitely get into one of those if you can, but put yourself out there and build that reputation with your references and activate that network. When it comes to gaining more experience, again, sign up for stuff. Participate. I can't tell you how mind-boggling it is to me that people say, well, I'm just not really getting any opportunities. No one's willing to take a chance on me. And I say, well, what do you do? What experience have you had? It's like, well, I've been a math teacher for 17 years. Okay, well, like, what leadership experience do you have? I've been a math teacher for 17 years. Great, but being good at what you currently do does not necessarily equip you to move to that next level. You've got to step outside a little bit and gain some experience, right? You got to get on some committees. You got to do summer school. You've got to work on the curriculum adoption, something to give you that experience and that exposure. Also look for stepping stone roles, right? If you've been the math teacher for 17 years, maybe you could be a math coach. Maybe there's an instructional coaching position that's coming up that would give you that outside of the classroom leadership experience, instructional leadership experience, and position you, you know, like put you in the room with the people who will make the hiring decisions more often than you are right now. And often the stepping stone roles have two kinds of people. And one, people who are in those coaching roles and plan to stay in them, which is totally great, and people who ultimately have a different goal. So if you're looking at a stepping stone role and saying, I don't want to be a dean of students forever. Well, look, some people want to be a dean of students forever, but most people don't, right? I was kind of a dean of students at an elementary school, and it was intended to be a stepping stone role, right? Like, I was not supposed to stay in that role forever. So use that stepping stone role to get closer to your goal. All right, great examples here. Janine's on three committees for next year. Awesome. Tammy says, I asked my principal for opportunities and she put me to work. Yeah, if you ask for opportunities, there's plenty of work to be done and a shortage of people to do it. So yeah, you will not get turned down if you are asking for opportunities to do good work and to make a difference. All right, let's talk about your resume. How can you make your resume more competitive? One big thing is to talk about your accomplishments, not your duties. I cannot emphasize this enough. You want to write really strong accomplishment bullets. And right here on this program a couple of weeks ago, I think we've taken it down from the public page here. But if you're a member, watch our bullets training on how to write good accomplishment bullets. Don't just say taught math. Okay, everybody knows if your resume says math teacher for 17 years, they know you taught math. They know you turned in grades. They know you, right? Don't put the duties that everybody knows simply from reading what position you had that you were already doing. Put your specific accomplishments that aren't obvious, that really make you stand out. Also, avoid things that are just claims like collaborative or revolutionary or inspiring or transformational. This is one I hear a lot, transformational leader. All right, if transformational leader is a bullet point on your resume, scratch that out. And if you want people to know that you're a transformational leader, tell them an accomplishment that you have that demonstrates that you are a transformational leader. Because what happens if you just put one word is it just becomes a claim. And without much evidence, it's not going to hold up very well. The reader is gonna see transformational leader, like who does this guy think he is? Like what a big head to call yourself a transformational leader and not have any evidence. So you wanna make sure that all of those claims are backed by evidence. All right, great to see the comments here. Great to see people chiming in. We're gonna go a little bit long today and get through all eight of these. One more thing on your resume, get some feedback on it, right? It's not just about the pretty template. It's about making sure that you make the case that you have the experience and you've got the accomplishments under your belt to really succeed in this role. If you are a member, please look in your member dashboard. We have created a new section for this called the Ascend Application Bundle. And I think it's in your sidebar. By the way, who's a member? If you're an Instructional Leadership Association member or Ascend Masterclass person, give me a me in the comments. Janine, I know you are, and I see Paige is, and Tammy, and Georgie. I see lots of familiar names here. So look in your member dashboard, and you will see Ascend Application Bundle. The Resume Blueprint Training is part of that. Go through that PDF, go through that training in the slides, and it's very specific about what your resume should have in it. I don't care what template you use, you know, find a nice template, that's not my jam, but make sure that the right information, the right evidence is there so that it's easy to put you in the yes pile. Thanks, Roseanne. Oh yeah, of course, Roseanne and Brittany and Georgie, awesome. And Olivia, hey Olivia, great to see you here. Absolutely. So yeah, look for that Ascend application bundle. If you don't have that, or if you're not a member, you can find out more about that at principalcenter.com/application. So Thelma, yeah, this is, our membership is $47 a month. You can actually try it for $19 if you go to principalcenter.com/application. I recommend that you check that out, and you'll get these trainings to, you know, basically to keep. So definitely check that out at principalcenter.com/application. We have over 700 members around the world, and just a thrill to get that feedback from our members, to see so many of you here and to see you working on your competitiveness week in and week out. Let's talk about the cover letter. First of all, for the cover letter, this is not a formality. The cover letter is your best chance to make an evidence-driven argument that you deserve an interview. So use that whole page, use that space, emphasize what makes you stand out, and revise, revise, revise. I probably was on about my 15th or 20th draft by the time I got my principal job. Every application you submit should have a stronger and stronger and stronger cover letter. And when I see that people have applied for 100 jobs and gotten zero interviews, I have to think that what's happening is their 100th cover letter that they're turning in is not much better than their first cover letter. They're not using each application as an opportunity to refine and to revise and to get a little bit better and a little bit better. So as you continue your search, as you continue applying, use that opportunity to make your application materials stronger and stronger. And Paige, thank you very much. I appreciate your kind words there. Again, if you do not have a strong cover letter, if you'd like some help, or you just want to see if your cover letter is strong, I recommend that you go through our training, How to Craft Your Cover Letter to Get More Interviews. That is about 82 minutes long, and it comes with the spreadsheet. I don't know if anybody on here has used the spreadsheet. I know some of you have been working on your cover letters for a long time. The spreadsheet will soon be part of our repertoire app. I'm very excited about that. But right now we have a spreadsheet. That's kind of the first version of that, where it will allow you to select multiple choice phrases and fill in your own evidence and fill in your own like job that you're looking for. And it will generate a variety of different possibilities for you to use. Has anybody given that a try? Janine's given it a try. It's fun to play with. You might still keep most of your current cover letter, but this is gonna give you phrases. This will generate an infinite variety of different phrases for you to use. So we have, I think, probably about 32 different sections in that cover letter. And then for each of those, we have like five or six or eight different options for that section. So there are, you know, billions of possible cover letters that you could generate. And again, a lot of this is going to plug in your specific experience, your specific accomplishments, but give you a structure to follow, because it's very hard to structure a cover letter. And I realized that what we could do is we could set this up so that the structure is done for you, but the content is all you. The content is unique to you. So it won't feel like I wrote it. It won't feel like somebody else wrote it for you. It'll be your decisions, your evidence, your information, but a kind of a common structure. So Tammy's tried that. Love it. Janine's tried that. Good deal. Yeah, give that a try and see if there aren't some ways that you can improve your cover letter there. And that's included in the Ascend application bundle. All right, let's talk about recommendation letters. I'm amazed every time people follow this advice. I love it when people do what I'm suggesting here and ask for 10 recommendation letters. I might have said cover letters. We're talking about recommendation letters now from your references. Ask as many people as you can. Ask your supervisor, ask your former supervisor, ask your colleagues in the department, ask your department head, ask the curriculum people downtown, ask your neighbor down the hall. Sometimes I've seen recommendation letters from parents and students even, or just other letters, maybe letters of appreciation that weren't written as recommendation letters, but you can kind of include them in that way. For the most part though, we're talking about people who know you in a professional capacity, right? Your supervisor, other educators who can speak credibly to your experience. And you don't just wanna get one or two though, you wanna get 10. Does anybody on here with us have 10 or more? A number of my clients this year went out immediately and got 10 recommendation letters that just blew me out of the water, right? And some of your recommendation letters might be older. You might have some that are 3 or 4 years old. I've even seen some that were 10 or 15 years old that spoke to where that person was in their career at that time and did a beautiful job of illustrating that person's leadership trajectory. So you don't want to have all old recommendation letters. You don't want to have no recommendation letter from your current supervisor if you can possibly get a good one. But you want to cast a wide net here. You want to ask a lot of different people so that you have a strong case being made by other people that kind of triangulates with the case that you're making about yourself. And you want to, here's the trick to this is, yeah, Tammy's got 8, awesome. Paige has got 9, and up to 15 if you go back a little bit. Awesome, awesome. That's going to really help you out. Here's the thing. If you ask for, this is the trick, right? This is a writer downer. Ask for a draft recommendation letter. Say, hey, I'm going to be applying for jobs in the next year, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to write me a draft recommendation letter. It doesn't have to be perfect. I don't even know what specific jobs I'm going to be applying for yet, but it would be really, really helpful, and I think it would save you time later, you know, in case I have to ask you at kind of a busy time. If you could write me a draft recommendation letter, just send me a Google Doc, or I can send you a Google Doc with my information filled in, and you can write a little bit as a draft letter. If you do that, again, like we said earlier, by asking, you're activating that person as part of your network. They are becoming part of your advocacy ring that's putting out feelers in the region, in the profession, in the community, through the Principals Association, through the district, to say to their colleagues, hey, have you thought about Justin? Do you have any positions that would be good for Justin? Simply by asking for a recommendation letter, you are activating your network. By asking for a draft recommendation letter, you're covering your bases in case A, they're kind of busy and they don't feel like they can really do a good job, but they can get you something. And B, in case they get you their best effort and it's still kind of stinky. I've seen this before where somebody loves you, they write you the very best recommendation letter they can, but they're a terrible writer and they give you a letter that just kind of stinks. If you've asked for a draft, then you've opened the door to asking for revisions. You can send it back to them, hey, I made a couple of changes, does this look all right? And you've kind of given yourself permission to do that in advance if you ask for a draft. All right, so ask for those recommendation letters. Let's talk about your interview performance. We're getting up to the end here. This is number 7 out of 8, rather. Keep practicing, right? When you have an interview coming up, absolutely practice. When you don't have an interview coming up, practice. Absolutely keep on practicing. And again, we have 52 practice interview questions that you can print out. If you go to principalcenter.com/interview, you can download that PDF and write out your answers. I like print this thing out. It will print out. It takes up a lot of paper. Good. Keep that thing on your desk, carry it around with you. Make it, you know, make one shoulder sag when you're carrying it around in your bag. If you are going to the beach, take this with you to the beach and write out bullet point answers to each of those 52 questions. Will this take you some time? Will this be time consuming to practice writing out your answers? Yes. That's why you don't want to start this like the night before you have an interview. If you don't have an interview till next year, that's totally fine. Print these out, practice your answers. If you get to some of them, you're like, I have no idea what I would say about that. Well, then you know what you need to study up on. You know where you need to read some books, read some articles, do some studying, and you are going to be in great shape. But the key step not to skip here, like think through your answers, but also practice. Practice out loud, practice on video, practice with a peer, practice talking into your phone, record yourself, watch the video or don't watch the video, delete it if you want to, but whatever you do, practice, because that is what is going to make you a better interviewer. You're gonna do better if you practice, not rocket science here. Finally, how can you become a more competitive candidate when it comes to your persistence? And we'll wrap up after this. You got to keep at it. You got to keep moving. You got to keep getting better and better. And the process that we share in the Ascend Masterclass looks something like this. I'll put it back up here. You've got basically a 5-stage process. You've got to discover your leadership superpowers. You have got to recruit your references, ask them for help. You've got to craft your application argument, your resume, your cover letter, your recommendation letters. You've got to practice for interviews, and then you've got to persist. You've got to race to the finish line. So make it happen. Commit to the work that it's going to be to make yourself the most competitive candidate. And just know that yes, some bad things might have happened, but if you have been working on this for a while and you haven't gotten the job yet, you have opportunities to make yourself more competitive, right? All of this is not fixed. This is not destiny. This is not wait around until the end of time for someone to give you an opportunity. You have the power to make yourself a more competitive candidate. Just like all those athletes going to the Olympics, they put in the work, right? They put in the thousands of hours of practice. They put in the training, they lifted the weights, they ran the sprints in order to qualify. And it is going to be a similar amount of work for you to achieve your career goals. Do not give up. Do not let someone tell you you are just the wrong fit and you just need to kind of wait around for a better fit to find you. So keep at it, keep fighting, keep making yourself more competitive. And again, download those practice interview questions. If you don't have those, principalcenter.com/interview. And if you wanna check out the spreadsheet, you can get that to help you with your cover letter at principalcenter.com/application. If you're already a member, oh, it's moving now. You can see the different sections of it. Good, this wasn't working before for some reason. So get that cover letter generator spreadsheet. It's an actual Excel file. That's at principalcenter.com/application. And if you're a member, look in your member dashboard. It's under Ascend Application Bundle. All right, I've got to run and check on my kids and make sure they're actually going to sleep. But have a great night, have a great week, and keep at it. We'll take next week off for 4th of July, and then I'll keep you posted after that here on Ascend Live. Thanks so much for being here. This has been a blast. And send me your questions. I'd love to know what questions you have for next time.